Well, not for the first time. We're talking at a farmer's market. And in fact, if you listen real well, you can hear banjos and guitars that are about 25 feet from us. People wandering back and forth through this farmer's market and lots of stuff they're taking home. But I'm really excited today to talk to somebody that is using technology to improve on that whole farmer's market situation. It's somebody that has said, look, there ought to be a way for you to know what you know what's going to be at the farmer's market that day and be able to have farmers say, okay, I've got this product out and I've got that product out and it's up today. And he's developed a new business that he's working on. It's a startup. It's exciting. It's got an app, which I don't know how people do apps. But I'm really happy to welcome Cam Sluggett. Cam, welcome to Farmer Table Talk.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. It's been quite a journey.
Yeah. No, well, I think so. And Cam, I want to introduce yourself a little bit because you have started an app, and you're working on a new business, and it's part of an incubator in San Luis Obispo. What is it? How do you describe what you're doing?
So we connect consumers with farmers market vendors through technology, and my company is called Arkichu. And how we do that for the farmer, they log on to our website, create a profile. They drop a pin at all the different markets they might be at, along with, you know, their menu items and what they might have. And then the user can download our mobile app and see what's at a market before they go, and, you know, a little bit about that vendor and menu items. And we even have in-app GPS to go straight to that vendor. So, you know, it's kind of the whole idea of know before you go, and we're working on integrating some other cool features where you can buy the products and then just go to it and, you know, show the vendor, hey, I bought this product. So then the vendors can kind of pre-sell their products even before going to the market.
Now that's really exciting. And I get into this, I'm doing this a little bit differently than I normally do, because my people hear me do these interviews and they say, oh, looks like Wasson's got another, whatever today's generation is of hippie at a farmer's market. And you pointed out yourself, or I wouldn't have brought this up, but you pointed out yourself. So sometimes people hear how you're speaking and think, he sounds like he's stoned.
Yeah.
And so since that kind of fits into the stereotype of who people think I may be speaking to at a farmer's market, I like you say that. You said you've actually had a speech impediment that you're overcoming.
Yeah, so I was actually born with a speech impediment and cerebral palsy in my hands. And I was in speech since 3 up till 6th grade. And then in 1st grade, I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy just in my hands that affects my fine motor skills. So that actually enabled me to use a laptop in school way before anyone did it. They actually put Wi-Fi in my high school just for me. So with that, I got all my work done a lot quicker than most kids, so I could play around on a laptop and on technology, and that's where kind of my love for technology started.
You know, we hear about those stories. I mean, when some people might refer to as a handicap, and you have cerebral palsy, but it's allowed you, kind of empowered you to get stronger in some other areas.
Exactly. So I actually look at it as an ability and not a disability because it, you know, like I said, it enabled me to do the same things, but in different ways. And, you know, I was kind of ahead of the curve, you could say, with using different programs for stuff. And yeah, this works, and no, it doesn't. And wow, you can do things a lot more efficiently when you type as opposed to writing. So
did that affect your decision about not going to college? Did you go to college for a while?
I have not gone to college. I actually finished high school in charter school because that way I could get my degree quicker, and or not degree, but certificate a lot quicker. and on my own time, because I actually started a landscaping business in high school and had two and a half days a week doing weekly maintenance, and then 6 to 7 months out of the year I had a crew of two or three guys with me personally, and we did tear outs and installs. So I was always, you know, leaving class to catch a business call or, you know, stuff like that. But I ran that for about 2 years out of high school, and then I just wanted to try something else. So I kind of shifted my focus to more technology based. And that's where a friend sailed a boat from San Mateo to Nicaragua, and he invited me down saying, hey, there's a bunch of expats, entrepreneurs, I think you would fit right in. So I went down there with my girlfriend and saw a need for townwide Wi-Fi, and I came back and I learned everything about networking I could and bought the equipment and flew back down with all the equipment in a suitcase and talked to business owners and set it all up. And, you know, it's all Spanish. And when you say, hey, I want to put an antenna on top of your roof, they're thinking like a 12-foot antenna where these things fit in a backpack. And so when I pull it out of a backpack, they're like, wait, that's an antenna? So it was quite a fun experience. And then the whole Central America, like, come back and talk to me tomorrow. And you come back and someone tells you that their boss, oh, he'll be back in 5 days. And I thought I was supposed to meet him today. So it took a lot longer than I anticipated. But we ran that for about a year, and it was quite an experience. And I ran it remotely and had a partner down there. But everything was managed from a server, so I could access it wherever I wanted. And then...
There must be a frontier down there, because I keep running into people that are going back and forth to Nicaragua.
Yeah.
They've got, like, coffee plantations and fair trade, this and that. And I've talked to some missionaries that are going down there. Mm-hmm. And then people are just, like, running back and forth. I'm surprised there's not more direct flights.
But yeah,
there's a lot of exciting things going on.
It's awesome. I mean, when I started going down, everyone said, Nicaragua, like, there's civil war. And, you know, people just, because it's always on travel advisory lists and stuff, but I mean, the people there are awesome. We used to travel on our moto around the country with some friends that ran a sailing business down there. We would go way up, we went way up in this cloud forest once, and I mean, there's guys up there plowing fields with oxes, not because it's cool, like, because that's how it's done. And then you meet these coffee farmers that don't even have electricity, and they're the nicest people. You stop and talk to them and take pictures with them, and they're just the coolest people. I mean, so down to earth. I mean, they're the people that if they didn't eat for 2 days, they would rather give you a meal.
Yeah, so and you speak Spanish.
A little bit broken. It takes about 2 days to come back to me when I'm engulfed in it.
So you say something in Spanish, you're pulling up to a farmer and you want to tell him that you got to be either paying attention to technology or Wi-Fi or anything.
I would always ask the business owners, like, TNA Wi-Fi, you know, because...
For Wi-Fi is Wi-Fi?
Yeah, so that kind of means, do you want Wi-Fi? Do you have Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
And so that was TNA Wi-Fi, and, because I would say Wi-Fi, and they wouldn't get it. And then I would call someone over, a buddy of mine, bilingual, and he would go, oh, Wi-Fi. And then their eyes go, oh, Wi-Fi. Like, yeah, we know. So, you know, just it's interesting. And when we used to travel, just going from southern Nica to northern Nica, the dialect, how you say... I think Kamado means store. Yeah. I mean, how you say that, you would ask someone. We were at a little baseball game asking them, like, where's the store? Where's the store? And they go, we don't know what you're saying. And, you know, where do you buy soda and stuff? Oh, and they said it with a little extra. And
they'll say cerveza, though.
Cerveza, yeah. Yeah, donde está cerveza?
Yeah, that's the one I get down.
Or donde está el baño? Where's the beer and where's the bathroom?
Yeah, those two things that matter. Yeah. So at what stage? I mean, you're doing these really interesting things. Mm-hmm. You're into high tech. I mean, when did you start thinking that there's something for you to do that involves the farm-to-table movement?
So the app kind of started out as a friend-finding app, and I used to layer on maps, and I said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if the vendor could drop a pin themselves? And I built the web interface for them to do that. And then I grew up in a small town in the Central Valley called Oakdale, which is all farm and cowboy.
Sure, go to Modesto and take it right.
Exactly. Go east a little before you get into the hills. So, you know, I thought there's a lack of technology here. And what I'm doing, adding vendors to maps. So I've started conceptualizing ways to merge those. And I always like going to farmers markets and, you know, just talking to vendors and people. And a lot of people say, yeah, I would go if I knew what was there before I went, right? Yeah. So you still get the face-to-face interaction with the vendor, but they know that, oh, my oranges will be there, I'll go there. And everyone wants to support local. And as I'm doing this, I kind of saw a farm-to-table movement. And, you know, it kind of goes in sync with each other.
That's great. So now, if you develop an app, I mean, briefly, I don't have to be an engineer here, but
yeah.
I mean, how do you develop an app? I mean, you sit down at a computer and you've got some sort of system that you can you build this thing from scratch.
Yeah, so I sat down with lots of drawings and going to a market and, okay, this would work and this didn't work and the farmer does this and doesn't work. And so you try and think of every scenario and write it down.
And longhand, like a legal pad or something.
Yep, or write it down, draw it, type it out on a Google Doc, whatever. Just every little thought. And then I'm kind of a developer, enough to get in trouble, but then you want to find a good developer. And my buddy put me in contact with one, so I was fortunate to sit down, put it all on the table, and then they give you their 2 cents on, from a development standpoint, this should be there or whatever. And then you develop the app. But of course, it's like building a house. It looks good on paper, then you build it and you're like, oh, I would change this and this and that. So a lot of the time is just adding features and debugging and stuff like that. But
so there's some like a software program or something.
Exactly.
And you start like writing us in and you have to know some sort of code to be able to write it.
So the website is written in kind of MySQL and PHP, and then the mobile side, because we're just iOS right now, is written in a language called Swift. Mm-hmm. And then the program you actually write it is called Xcode, and that runs on a Mac. So you write everything in there, and then it compiles down and packages to your phone.
So how do you get iTunes to take it to the App Store?
So from Xcode, you can hit archive and then upload, and you have an account with iTunes Connect is what it's called, and you upload to iTunes Connect and then you submit for review, and their guys either review
like
it or not.
They got my podcast listed now too.
Exactly.
That's on iTunes and podcasts, Apple Podcasts, but you have to apply and you have to have certain basics covered to be able to get in the lineup. So once you exist then, so today, because you are accepted as an app with the iTunes Store, so somebody on an iOS platform can put your company's name, or it's just, I just say Arkit, how do you pronounce it?
Arkitu.
Arkitu, so A-R-K-I-T-U.
Yep.
And you put it in the query, then on iTunes, and it'll take it to your app.
Yep, exactly. And you can do it on the App Store icon on your phone, in iTunes on your desktop.
Let's talk a minute about what it does now. You got the app, and so the farmers can list what they're going to have that day, and the shoppers can go on the app, and that they want to check like the San Luis Obispo Farmers Market and see whether, you know, what's special that day with their favorite farmer?
Exactly. So what I'm finding is most farmers have the same inventory. You know, they might switch with the seasons, but it doesn't change much on the week-to-week basis. So the farmer logs onto our website, puts everything in on the, like on a desktop, on a computer. And then the users download the app and can say, oh, you know, it's Saturday morning in SLO. What farmers are there?
And people then, aren't used to SLO. You know, here we talk about SLO, and it's San Luis Obispo.
Yep, San Luis Obispo. That's where I'm based out of. And so I'm working on all the markets there so they can see what vendors are there. They can search by keyword at the, we're working on about six markets down there. Yeah, but as a consumer, you just go onto the app, you can search lettuce, and if a...
So you're, and in doing this right now, you're part of what's called an incubator.
Yep.
Then describe that.
So incubators, startup incubators are where companies go to grow, essentially. They have lots of resources to everything from CPAs to, you know, angels to, I mean, just everything. And other companies in there are very like-minded, so it's cool just to talk and say, hey, what are your problems? Oh, I'm having a hard time marketing on social media. Oh, this works for me. So it's kind of like a big family, and each member is doing their own thing. But
if you get accepted, you don't have to pay rent?
No. So this one, you... This one, I pay a monthly fee, and it's a two-year program. So, but it's, I mean, it's so reasonable because the incubators are there to help you. So I'm part of one called Slow Hot House, and it's a CIE, Center for Innovation, SBA, Small Business Administration or Association, and then Cal Poly. So... I mean, you're linked up to so much in it, and they're all over, you know, California, and they're popping up everywhere.
So this app that you've worked on now, I mean, do you aspire to get in other regions in the future?
Yeah, so right now, you know, I'm just working on SLO because that's as far as I can reach, and I'm working on the vendors to... you know, kind of onload them and do that process. But it's actually built, so if you're a vendor in New York or whatever, you can log on and drop a pin. You can do it worldwide even. But because my reach is so far, personally, I'm focusing on San Luis Obispo area.
Well, how are you going to make money from that?
So once we build it, there's a couple revenue schedules. Is that the vendor pays us a monthly fee, about $15 a month, because we're putting them in front of so many eyes and bringing them more business. There's a couple other we've thought of that, you know, maybe we show the vendor zoomed out more on the map, you know, how Google and Apple Maps does it. Or on a featured list, we bump you to the top, you know, or we do push notifications that say, hey, go check out, you know, Julia's Juices this week, you know. And so there's, and then we're also looking into where people can buy items right in the app from the vendor, and then go to the vendor, show them a receipt, and say, hey, I bought this item, you know. And that way for the vendor, it kind of pre-sells things before they even get to the market.
Yeah. What an interesting journey you're on. One more thing I want to get into, and in this journey you've been on, you've gone to Nicaragua, you've done these other things, you get this app going. You mentioned to me earlier that you and your girlfriend lived in a shipping container in Hawaii for a while. That's not something everybody does. Explain that story.
Yeah, so when my sister graduated high school, I said, look, don't go straight to college. I'm watching my friends get burned out, or, you know, all these people get burned out. Take a year and go explore. So she found a nanny job in Maui, and when we were traveling, we were kind of, after Nicaragua, she said, hey, I found you guys a work trade in North Shore Maui in Paia, looking at the ocean. It's a shipping container, and I mean, on an island in the middle of the Pacific, you don't need much to live. So we lived there about a year, and I did odd jobs and kind of built out the platform, and that was just an awesome experience.
So you're a shipping container. Do you have, like, windows and tables and bathrooms or anything?
Yeah, so I built an outdoor bamboo propane heater shower, and then we had an outdoor kitchen under a, cover with the fridge, and we lived on a farm, so the bathroom was only not that far away, maybe 30 feet, so, and it never, I mean, cold there is like, if it drops into the 60s, you're like in your blanket, like in the morning, you know, and, but yeah, we had, you know, I got Wi-Fi out there for us, and it's, and I mean, when you're there, you're not home much, so it doesn't, you don't need a lot, you need a bed and a kitchen.
And now you're back on the mainland, and you just showed me, we drove to the farmer's market, you've got 450,000 miles on your car. That's a
477.
477.
Yep.
That's like a record. That's,
I'm trying to hit 500.
There aren't many. You think you're the closest to 500 I've ever met.
Well, good.
But it's exciting what you're doing. And I think the story is so interesting, too, because, again, you kind of start off with what might be a disability, but it's turned into an asset
for you. It's,
and you've been adventuresome, and you keep looking at the next stage, I think. So when you look at, like, what's in front of you now, what makes you the most optimistic about the near term? I mean, what do you feel good about looking at these next few years?
I think there's a huge thing at people wanting to know where their food comes from and meeting the face that has picked that food, and knowing that when they buy that food, the dollar, you know, goes into their pocket mostly, as opposed to a chain. And so, you know, I just want to alleviate that process and make it easier for the person to find things straight from the farm, and for the farmer to get more customers, because, you know, a lot of them I find are just the most down-to-earth, coolest people, and they work, you know, 12, 14-hour days, and, you know, if we can help their sales and stuff by, you know, even a couple hundred dollars, and, you know, that's, say, you know, a quarter rent, or, you know, it's a big deal for them. So I just want to help the farmer, and, you know, so they don't have to go to 8 markets in 3 days, and they can go to 3 markets and actually enjoy their life. So.
Hey, Cam, give your website address again, because if somebody is listening to this, they want to follow how things are going with you, or maybe, you know, get other information. How did they do that?
Yeah, so you can go to www.arkitu.co. So it's arkitu.co.
I always feel like I made a mistake and dropped the M accidentally when I'm getting used to the .co instead of .com, but so, you have to remind him about that.
So I recently was able to buy .com about 2 weeks ago.
If they make the mistake, they'll still find you.
Exactly. So I forwarded everything to .co, but because my marketing materials are already printed, I just stuck with .co for now.
Ah, that's great. You know what? It's great talking to you.
Awesome.
Cam Saga,
to be
thanks
here.
For being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you.